9 o'clock. Jim Davis, Sam the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. The most trusted name in automobiles. Big thank you to Mark Johnson, who had the late night last night covering the Buffs in UCLA. Mark had to go pick up hay this morning, so he's like, hey, I just had to get up and go do a little ranch work. Always appreciate Mark coming on with us. Likewise, John Sedanich, Corey Hitchcock from earlier, and you can get those interviews. The whole full 3 hours of the show at our website, theteam1340.com. And you can also get just the interviews as well. Post those on our website, also Facebook and Twitter as well, if you want to check those out. All right, so our queued up a question of the day today involves Major League Baseball, who last night, the collective bargaining agreement expired at 10 o'clock our time. Owners immediately locked the players out. Do you think the Major League Baseball season will start on time? How much of an impact do you think this will have? How much, you know, deeper into the spring and summer will this negotiation, this, you know, loggerhead that they're at right now, push the season into deeper into the spring and into the summer? So text or call us, Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. This is killing me because I still have my Chick-fil-A chicken burrito sitting here, still wrapped up
really
from Jim Landis, by the way. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that.
Because I haven't had time to unwrap it, need it.
It's really good.
But kind of busy doing this, but I'm looking forward to savoring my Chick-fil-A chicken burrito. Thank you, Jim. We appreciate that.
Yep. I don't know if I left you any of the salsa. I'm not really worried about it right now.
Yes, you left me one. Okay, which, good. Okay, that's better.
Good.
Better than none.
Yeah. It almost was none, but I only grabbed one packet out of the bag.
So I think there was just two. So
yeah.
I think it worked out okay.
Mm-hmm.
One for you, one for me.
We're still looking for the correct answer for who is it.
Okay.
Who is it? I am in the Basketball Hall of Fame. My class included Julius Erving, Dan Issel, Bill Walton. My brother and I are the only set of brothers in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Now, Chance did text that. Reggie and Cheryl Miller are the only brother-sister duo
brother,
in the Basketball Hall
sister.
Of Fame. That is correct. I did not say the only set of siblings. I said the only set of brothers.
Brother.
Brother. In the Basketball Hall of Fame. And it's not Dominique and Gerald Wilkins, because one of them is in the Basketball Hall of Fame, and Gerald is not.
So, scratch them.
Sorry, Big G, but no. So, I'm looking for the person in the Basketball Hall of Fame whose class included Julius Erving, Dan Issel, and Bill Walton. My brother Al and I are the only set of brothers in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Brother.
Brother. All right, so first correct answer wins. What, it's Qdoba today?
Your choice of Qdoba or a case of a New Belgium
beer? What about Junction Square?
It's not in here.
Not here. Okay, so it's those two. Very mm-hmm. good. All right, so text in your answer. You get your choice, and then the pile from the text we get in today, you'll have a chance to get the other prize.
Yep.
So a text or call is 970-242-1340. Let's see. Got one from Dom. Congratulations to you, by the way, on the impending nuptials, the engagement. As a Mariners fan, the lockout has hits a little different because they can't set up any more explosion to the rumble they call a roster while it's going on. Mike from Scottsdale. Good morning, muchacho. Since the last meeting lasted all of 7 minutes, I doubt that the season starts on time. Here's an Arizona perspective. The Cactus League is a $650 million economic impact to the Phoenix area. I think that the owners want to grab back a lot of ground that was previously given up. This is yet another example of the divisiveness that permeates our society. No compromise from either side. Mike from Scottsdale, that is well put, sir.
Yeah,
There has to be give and take. There has to be things that we both agree upon as opposing sides in any issue. There are things that speak to both of us. And sometimes that gets forgotten, right? Regardless what the circumstances might be, whether it's in the political arena or in this case, the Major League Baseball collective bargaining agreement debate, the negotiations. Can they not both agree that Major League Baseball, in terms of how it's perceived by the world, how it's perceived by this country. First, let's just start in America. how it's perceived in this country isn't what it was 20 years ago. Major League Baseball's lost a lot of ground, a ton of ground to the NFL. I'm old enough to remember when Major League Baseball and the NFL, they were pretty much, you know, right there, 1A, 1B, in terms of people following it. And baseball probably still had, you know, into the 70s, still had a little bit of an edge over the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
But you could see the NFL was coming and coming hard. Professional football was becoming big. And Major League Baseball was probably not going to hold them off. But there was that sense, even in the 80s, early 90s, that Major League Baseball was still, you know, they'd slipped to second place. They weren't America's pastime anymore. But they were still relevant. And people still enjoyed following Major League Baseball. But that gap has widened with every, and not that the NFL's been pristine in terms of their labor negotiations. They've had strikes, they've had lockouts, they've had their own labor issues to deal with. But for the most part, they've at least found a way, though, to find some common ground. And there might be feelings about how by the players that they don't feel like DeMaurice Smith maybe always represents their best interest. And that's usually coming from, like we said, the Aaron Rodgers of the world. And that's like, how could we vote for a 17th game? How could we approve this? Because not everybody makes the money that Brady and Rodgers and those guys do.
All you need is half plus one.
Exactly. They had a vote on it. They voted in their union. And they voted in favor of it. Because nobody wanted to miss a paycheck. There's always been some give and take. Gene Upshaw back in the day, a lot of people thought he was too cozy when it came to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul Tagliabue, that the relationship was too cozy there. But they, for the most part, with the exception of a few times, they've been able to avoid a catastrophic loss to a season.
Yeah.
Like the poor Montreal Expos will never get that chance to win that World Series.
No.
Season was gone.
And if you want to tie in two of our topics from this morning, labor strife and the John Gruden thing, one of the conspiracy theories out there early on in the Gruden departure was that was right before signing DeMaurice Smith up, or right before the vote to keep him as head of the NFLPA, which the league wants because they feel they can manipulate him and the league and the union.
Right.
Doing what they want to do. That's one of the conspiracy theories surrounding the Gruden emails. And so if Gene Upshaw had a nice, cozy relationship with Paul Tagliabue, what does it say when the NFL wants the union head to stay in place? That's pretty cozy.
That's very cozy. You know, let's be honest, whoever's been in charge, whether it's DeMaurice Smith or it's been Gene Upshaw,
they get steamrolled by the league.
Yeah. None of those guys are channeling the ghost of Marvin Miller.
Right.
Who
Bob Feer.
Or Bob Feer. I mean, Miller was there, you know, from the late 60s to 82. You know, an absolute just bulldog when it came to negotiating for players and players' rights. They haven't really had that guy. But also, they've managed to, maybe they haven't had the strong leadership like Major League Baseball, at least there's been some flexibility there. At least there's been the ability to get deals to come together. For Major League Baseball, there's this, it's a wall that gets put up. Mm-hmm. And it's on both sides. You know, it's you shall not pass.
Yeah.
You know, like Gandor and, you know, Lord of the Rings. You shall, or Gandalf, excuse me. You shall, it's been a while since I've seen it. Gandalf, you shall not pass. This is it. We have drawn our line in the sand. Mm-hmm. This is our DMZ here.
And not only are you not coming past our line, we're not even coming past our line in the sand. We're staying on this side and you're staying on that side.
So here's Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball commissioner, who addressed the lockout this morning. We understand it's bad for the business. It's not a good thing for the sport. We took this action with the support of all 30 clubs. We made a proposal yesterday. If it had been accepted, it would have provided a clear path towards an agreement. So right now, off-season transactions like free agency, the arbitration process, Rule 5 draft, they're frozen until some kind of agreement gets reached. And then baseball's mid-December winter meetings, done. Not going to happen unless something changes dramatically. You mentioned MLB removing the player photos and news from its website, prompting several players to change their Twitter profile pictures to blank avatars. Manfred did write a letter to fans last night, following the lockout, explaining how and why the lockout happened. Simply put, we believe that an off-season lockout is the best mechanism to protect the 2022 season. We hope that the lockout will jumpstart the negotiations, really, and get us on an agreement that will allow the season to start on time. So using a labor weapon like a lockout, that's gonna spur positive dialogue at the mediation table, the negotiation table. That's really going to get that going. Don't you think, Rob, that just makes the players' union even more ticked off and angry? MLBPA, they released their own statement, calling it a drastic measure, regardless of the timing. It also said that it determined to return to the field under a negotiated CBA that is fair to all parties.
You know who he reminds me of? Mayor Quimby from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Rob Manfred, a little bit.
I could see that, yeah.
Just like so clueless.
I just, with Manfred, a guy that, remember, let us not forget what Rob Manfred said one time about the World Series trophy.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a piece of metal. This is the guy that's the commissioner of the league.
We don't market players nationally. We know you don't.
And this is the guy that's in charge of it all. Mayor Quimby.
It's time we face up to the unface up to a boo.
Yes, exactly.
They'd be better off if Mayor Quimby from The Simpsons was running this thing. It's perplexing and it's disappointing for people like you and I that love baseball, that baseball can't be what it once was.
Yeah.
That when you knew the names, they were nationally known, that you had, that people cared about baseball. They really cared about it. And even if your team had a bad year, you were still, hey, it's, you know, I'm still out there rooting. You're rooting for the Tribe. Well, now the Guardians.
Yep.
You know, my Rockies may not be great, but man, they're my team and they play hard and they play the game the right way. And, you know, management does the right things, which, no, I have not been smoking anything.
Those days are gone.
And that the league felt like it was healthy. It just doesn't. And they're going to keep falling further behind. They've clearly, they're not even in the same area code as the NFL anymore. I still think, feel free to disagree with me, I feel like the NBA's moved past them.
No, absolutely. They're totally.
And the NHL's coming surpassed. For you. They're coming for you, Major League Baseball. Who'd have ever thought that, right? Who'd have ever thought that would be the case? And then, look, I'm even going to bring this up, and this would have been, at one point, went, no way, no how. Don't fall asleep on Major League Soccer, Major League Baseball.
In certain places, yeah.
Place like Portland, Seattle, it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big, big deal there. People love the Sounders and the Timbers. And
Crew
in Columbus.
FC Cincinnati, they draw huge, too. Nashville, where there is no Major League Baseball.
Which they would like to have a team there, at least a group would like to have a team there.
You know, didn't we broach on expansion, a couple months ago, maybe six, 8 weeks ago? You can't have expansion when you can't even get your current number of people
Agreed.
On the same page.
How can you add, look at adding cities adding franchises, adding new owners, when you can't even agree with your employees at this stage of the game, mm-hmm. with the 30 owners that you currently have. And you're going to bring two more teams in? Really?
Like I said last hour, these are grown men that just can't read the room. You talked NFL is surpassed. College football is way, yeah,
and I haven't even brought,
past.
I'm just talking about professional
just
sports.
Professional sports.
But college football is more popular than Major League Baseball.
Right. When it comes to eyeballs and money,
college basketball.
You have to pull in college sports, yeah. too. College football, college basketball are ahead of the MLB. When it comes to sports you're going to spend money on, MLB might be fifth for most people. Spend time and money watching. They take for granted the fact that they're on every day during the summer. But once you get outside of April to July and August is really when Major League Baseball takes effect. That's only 4 months. They may play 6 months, but 3.5 to 4 of those months are the only time they're really getting any love. And you're right. The NBA has the finals that go into July. Stanley Cup playoffs are in June. And Major League Baseball still tries to feel like they're standing on the mountaintop.
Here's an example. Remember, let's go back to Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Las Vegas, Dallas. 37.8 million viewers.
Yep.
Biggest audience for an NFL regular season game since Thanksgiving of 93.
Mm-hmm.
Your Ohio State Buckeyes. Sorry, wish the outcome would have been better. Taking on Michigan. 15.9 million. For Major League Baseball World Series, that number, this is the World Series, mind you.
Yeah.
Just a little over 14 million.
A college division, not a conference. Yep.
No.
A division game.
Not a playoff game.
Drew more.
Yeah, not a national championship game.
Hell, Michigan State, Michigan drew almost 10 million people. There's 49 other states that don't care. And that still drew almost as many people as the World
Cleveland
Series.
At Baltimore drew 16.23 million.
That game was a dog,
and
too.
It was a bad football game. And Major League Baseball, look, the Giants-Tampa Bay Monday Night Football drew over 10 million. So you're drawing 14 million for the World Series?
You're eking out a win over random Monday Night Football games.
Yeah, not great games. Not great matchups, not great games.
Mm-mm. When the NFL runs a standalone game, it waxes the competition.
I'm close. Yeah.
And this is why NFL does everything, tries to have an event a month, whether it's the Super Bowl, the Combine, the Draft, free agency, training camp opens, winter meeting, or summer, whatever. And it always will drown out Major League Baseball.
Every single time.
Major League Baseball needs to dominate the room they're currently in and stop trying to get back into the big boy room, which is where the NFL, college football, the NBA reside. And in the hall between Major League Baseball's little room and the big room where all the big boys are is college basketball. The NCAA tournament is massive. College basketball, there's some college basketball and probably a pretty decent game on every night of the week from now until March. There's going to be a pretty decent game on somewhere. And with sports betting, that's going to get even more eyeballs,
yeah.
on college basketball.
And so to kind of wrap it up here, look where Major League Baseball, some of the things we mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Other sports clearly dominate you in terms of ratings.
Right. College football is not trying to be the NFL.
No.
College basketball is not trying to be the NBA. Major League Baseball is trying to be the 60s and 70s Major League Baseball. That's just not the way it is anymore.
One of the final thing, too, has nothing to do with MLB. Remember all those reports about the NFL, you know, years ago?
Mm-hmm. The demise is upon us.
It's going away.
Yeah.
It's fading in popularity.
Nobody's watching.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
$34 million for Raiders Cowboys.
37 million
people. Sorry, not dollars.
Yeah.
But 37 million people for Raiders Cowboys on Thanksgiving. I didn't count me. I didn't even watch that game.
I watched parts of it. But, you know, ratings for an NFL have been... I mean, last year we thought they would have been really good, right? Mm-hmm. Because the pandemic and people couldn't go. They've been sensational throughout the course of the
season.
All
you need to do is be able to put a little heat on that game. And now everybody's
all of
watching.
A sudden, I... Sir, you have me at wager.
Yes.
All right, 9:20. We'll take a break. We'll come back and cover
Mesa
Volleyball Coach.
You have a gambling problem.
Dave Fleming, who does not have a gambling problem. Let's clarify that. Dave Fleming will join us next.
Touchdown every morning.
Woo! The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, Jim and the Buckeye Boy, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. And joining us right now is team getting ready for South Central Region play against University of Texas Tyler over at Metro State at the Rare Events Center. Dave Fleming, Maverick Volleyball Coach, joins us. Dave, good morning. How are you?
Good, Jim. Sorry, the Michigan fight song might be playing in the background. We're on the way to the gym. So.
Oh, good, good. You know, crank it up because the Buckeye Boy loves that song. It's his favorite song. Of all
well,
time.
If there's a week I can play it, it's this week. So
Buckeye, you and Dave got a little. You've got a little.
First time since 2010. Congratulations! First time in 11 years.
Hey, whoever laughs loudest. So
whoever laughs more often has a better life.
Oh wow! Ooh, got to admit, Dave, that was a good comeback on his part. That was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
Well, we hope that your team has smiles on their face after today we take on University of Texas Tyler. But I do want to acknowledge, of course, more of your, you know, more hardware coming your team's way with, of course, the D2 CCA all-region volleyball teams announced. And you had three selections, all South Central Region first team, going to Kirsten Lehman with Ty Wedhorn, Sydney Loeffler being named to the second team. Of course, Lehman was the RMAC Defensive Player of the Year, Loeffler the RMAC Freshman of the Year. Wedhorn was a second-team All-RMAC selection, but those players also getting regional accolades as well.
Yeah, we were really proud of those kids. And, you know, kind of our talk last night was that none of those kids would get there without the effort that everybody puts in the gym every day. I mean, we really feel that we have two really good RMAC teams, two really good regional teams in the gym, and those kids are pushed every day just to get in the starting lineup, let alone to get to all region in all RMAC. So, you know, those awards are really team awards, and that's what this group is about. It's not the individual awards. It's about what we can do as a group. So we're looking forward to seeing what we can do today.
Of course, today, University of Texas Tyler, noon over at the Rare Events Center. And look, you've got some experience in terms of players that have been in the NCAA tournament in the past. Aria Norwood, Kirsten Lehman, Ashton Reese, Holly Schmidt. They've all had a chance on that 2018 team to know what it's like to play at this level.
Yeah, it's kind of a special event. I mean, you're at the hotel with all the other teams. You see them at breakfast, and you know all the pomp and circumstance of the NCAA. So it's a fun event, and it does help that those kids have been there and done that. Texas Tyler, this is going to be their first go around in the NCAA tournament, so I think we have the advantage there. But yeah, we're really looking forward to it.
Give us the scouting report, and I've had a chance to learn more about University of Texas Tyler.
Yeah, their stats are actually very similar to ours. They have a really good hitting efficiency. They're athletic. They run a 6-2 offense compared to our 5-1, which means they have two setters instead of we just use one. They are very good at the pin as well. Their right sides and outsides are very good. And I think where we might have the advantage is in the middle with Ty Wedhorn and Savannah Spitzer. And we have to use that to our advantage. We feel that if we get a chance to take a swing, that those two have to be able to be up and available and able to terminate the ball. So I think that's where our advantage is. And I also think that we have to serve tough and pass well to get the W.
Colorado Mesa Volleyball Coach Dave Fleming joining us today from Denver. The Maverick Volleyball team plays their match at noon today at the Auraria Events Center. Metro State is the number one team in the South Central Region. And look, you've had a couple of matches there this season. You played, of course, Metro State, lost in a five-set, just a tough loss against them. and actually had a chance to also beat them over there as well, but couldn't quite seal the deal. So it's a venue that you're familiar with and hoping to change some of that recent history when we take on University of Texas Tyler.
Yeah, we've had some big wins here in the past, too, and I think the big advantage for us is we're just familiar with the surroundings. You know, that's not the wins and losses recently, but it's just that we're familiar with it. We're familiar with the gym. We're going to be familiar with the protocols that they use, so we'll use that to our advantage as well. Texas Tyler's, I'm sure they're not at 5,000 feet, so we're going to use that to our advantage as well. We're really going to try to extend points and see if their cardio can hold up to the elevation and use that to our advantage as well.
Well, Dave, we appreciate the time. Of course, noon today for that one over at the Rare Event Center. Maverick volleyball team scoring off against University of Tyler, Texas. Dave, we always appreciate the time. Thank you so much, and best of luck today.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. I appreciate it.
All right, Dave Fleming, coach of the CMU volleyball team. And quite happy to rub your nose in a little bit there, Buckeye.
Everybody gets one.
I thought for the most part, you handled it well. It was a witty comeback. I was impressed. It was a solid comeback in your part.
Pretty clever guy.
Yeah. But Dave, being the classy guy that the Dave Fleming is, he acknowledged, okay, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
He started out strong. You finished it even stronger.
Mm-hmm. We may not have scored as many points, but we're still more clever. And we don't wear khakis.
Now that's...
I'm just saying.
That is true. That is true.
Wit, fashion sense, scoreboard.
It's all there, right? It's all there. Yeah. Well, I appreciated how you handled the whole thing with Dave.
Worse than Jim Harbaugh?
Well, not that bad.
Yeah.
Oh, today though, the sun is shining on Ann Arbor, Michigan, and Jim Harbaugh.
Yep, Michigan's Greeley gets sunshine every once in a while.
Michigan's Greeley. Did we ever get a winner? For who is it?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
First person in the door to correctly identify Nick McGuire was Evan. Al and Dick McGuire, the only brothers in the Basketball Hall of Fame. We had some good guesses. We had Jeff Van Gundy. We had some bad guesses, like Bobby Unser, wrong sport.
Bobby Unser?
Yeah. Steve, sorry. Did Steve send us a disregard, but we can't. You know better than that, Steve.
No, Steve, you're the one. Bobby Unser?
It's like a tweet. Once it's there, it's always there. So, but yes, we have a winner. Evan, correctly identifying Dick McGuire. And Evan took Qdoba, so we still have a beer available.
All right. So, do you think the Major League Baseball season will start on time? Pitchers and catchers reporting in February. I just don't think that's going to happen at all. All right, this day in sports history. And we go back to 1907. Tommy Burns defends his world heavyweight title by knocking out Gunnar Moore in the 10th round in London. 1944, Ohio State quarterback Leslie Horvath wins the Heisman Trophy. Did you know that?
I did not know that. I did know that today was the anniversary of a different Ohio State Heisman Trophy win.
And who would that be? Because I don't see this.
That would be Archie's second.
Okay.
The only guy to ever do it.
Let's see. Also on this day, 1947, Notre Dame quarterback Johnny Lujack wins the Heisman Trophy. 1952, Oklahoma halfback Billy Vessels is named the Heisman Trophy winner. And another Heisman Trophy winner, 1958, Army running back Pete Dawkins wins the award. Also on this day, 1993, the Houston Rockets tie the NBA record for the best start to a season, improving to 15-0 with their 94-85 win over the Knicks. The Rockets matched the start of the 1948-49 Washington Capitals before they obviously...
They play hockey, though.
They took the name, yes, for the hockey team back in the late 60s. 1995, Notre Dame advanced to the NCAA Women's Soccer Championship by becoming the first team to beat 13-time champion North Carolina in the national semifinals. Also on this day, 2002, Oakland's Tim Brown and Jerry Rice take turns rewriting the NFL record book in a 26-20 win over the Jets. Brown becomes the third player with 1,000 receptions and the third with 1,400 receiving yards. Rich Gannon ties an NFL record of his ninth 300-yard passing game of the season. And on the very next play after Brown's 1,000th catch, Rice scores on a 26-yard catch, giving Oakland a 13-10 lead. It's Rice's record 192nd TD catch and puts him over 1,000 yards receiving for a record 14th season. Boom, boom, boom. Records just dropping left and right in that game. And one final one, 2009, the New Jersey Nets are pounded into NBA infamy, falling 117-101 to the Mavericks for their 18th straight loss to start the season. The Nets passed the 1988-89 Miami Heat and the 1999 LA Clippers, who both dropped their first 17 games. All right, 9:33, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy, John Friedel, who's the coach of the CMU men's soccer team. They're in Super Region 4 action tonight out in LA against Cal State LA. We'll talk with him coming up next on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The Team.
Welcome back, 9:37. Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios. Most trusted name in automobiles. All right, the Colorado Mesa men's soccer team, they're in action. Super Region 4 playing out in L.A. when they take on Cal State Los Angeles. And 6 o'clock for that one tonight. And joining us right now, John Friedel, the head coach of the CMU men. John, I appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, John, I do want to talk about the award that your staff received, recognized by the United Soccer Coaches for the D2 South Central Region. You had the Staff of the Year, and so congratulations on that. Kind of take us through this award, because while it's always about the team and everything, that it's always nice to get these kind of acknowledgments for yourself, for Brandon Batista, your assistant coach, that to acknowledge that the coaching staff also plays their role in a season like this one unfolding.
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice to get recognized, but at the end of the day, you're only as good as your players, and we have a fantastic team, so we're benefactors of that.
John Friedel, the head coach of the CMU men's soccer team, mentioned you're playing Cal State LA tonight, 6 o'clock at University Stadium. What's it been like the last day or so being out in LA and getting ready for this one? Obviously some time on the pitch, but also probably a little bit of downtime for you and the players.
Yeah, we got out in the field and had an hour-long training session yesterday, and the guys seem really well prepared, so hopefully we can come out and play at our best level and take care of business tonight.
Cal State Los Angeles, a team that 15-2-2 overall. They went 10-0-1 in their conference, and of course, winning the regular season, securing tournament titles as well. When you've had the chance to scout some of the things you've seen on film, or maybe that you've been able to hear about from other coaches, what's the lay of the land on the Golden Eagles?
They're a very organized side defensively, very well coached. They have some quality individuals in terms of just athleticism and dynamic ability. So they've got the ability to get forward quickly, but at the same time, they can keep the ball if they want to. So it should be a very very good matchup, not too dissimilar from the way we play.
For them, David Elizaga has been their leader in assists and shots, 19 and 31 respectively. Sounds like a pretty solid player for them, a very consistent leader for this team.
Yep. We'll just stick to our game plan and see if we can slow not just him down, but everybody down, because obviously he's kind of their main guy, but they have a lot of different weapons that, just like any team at this level when you get this far in the season.
John Friedel, the head coach of the CMU men's soccer team, with us, joining us from Los Angeles. They take on Cal State LA tonight in Super Region 4 play at 6 o'clock. Who else, John, when you've been scouting them, that has kind of caught your attention, a player that you're going to have to pay some attention to tonight?
We've tried not to key on any one guy, because, like I said, they're an extremely well-rounded team, and they're very deep. So if you pay too much attention to one player, you're going to get hurt by somebody else. So at the end of the day, we're going to do what we do and try to be the best version of ourselves. I think that's what you got to have to stick to when you get to this time of the year. And hopefully that carries us through.
And it's been a while since the Mavericks have played Cal State LA. Let's see, back 2011 and then 2014. That was in the regional final for the seating for the South Central team to the Final Four. So it's been a few years since this program has faced off against them.
Yeah, but the good thing is we have some history on this field, and obviously that was before my time here, but It's not unknown territory for our program.
John Friedel, coach of the CMU men's soccer team, joining us today on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. You know, John, to have your team get to where they are right now, Super Region 4, taking on Cal State LA tonight. I think looking at over the course of the years, Fort Lewis, the Maverick soccer program, Colorado School of Mines, and others, that it just seems like that the RMAC continues to build its credibility from a national standpoint in Division II soccer.
Yeah, and of all the teams in our Super Region, we got the most teams as the RMAC in the national tournament this year. So I think that's a testament to just how strong our conference is and just the depth and quality that we have.
Of course, Mines in there and CSU Pueblo as well in Super Region 4. 6 o'clock tonight for that one out in L.A. The Maverick soccer team takes on Cal State Los Angeles. Hey, John, I appreciate the time. Thanks for squeezing us in this morning, and best of luck tonight against the Golden Eagles.
Appreciate it. Thanks again for having me.
No problem. John Friedel, the head coach of the CMU men's soccer team, with us today on the program. All right, 9:42. Jim, along with the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Do you think the Major League Baseball season will start on time? Lockout started last night at 10 o'clock our time. From Robert, baseball is mostly boring. It's too slow. It's like watching paint dry. How does anyone fix the nature of baseball? Either you're a fan or you're not of baseball. Are there things that you can do, and baseball's tried to do, with the speed-up rule, with the runner at second base of California, speed up rule, trying to limit the number of time guys can step out of the box when they're at the plate. I just think either have an appreciation for baseball and the pace of the game, or you don't. Simple as that. I mean, you either love baseball or you don't. Our good friend Mike from Scottsdale, not a baseball fan.
And for me, baseball, among a lot of the things they do poorly, you don't seem to have anybody on a broadcast that shows excitement for the game that's being played. Maybe outside of Alex Rodriguez. John Smoltz is very good, but not super excited. What's the one thing about Tony Romo? You can tell just by the way he calls it. He loves football. He loves the next play that's coming up. And I know baseball doesn't always work for that because it's not an exciting game every pitch. But when a team shifts and the color guy's like, well, not a big fan of the shift, that's not helping also.
No.
This is on the product.
And when you're criticizing the product that you're covering, that doesn't help.
When Tony Romo's like, well, the reason they have three guys over here on this side of the formation is to blah, 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 whatever. When he's explaining the game with some passion. You don't get that a lot from your old guard in baseball. Your Bob Brenly's on the TV broadcast. Why do they have three guys on that side? Maybe show a graphic that, this hitter pulls the ball on 75% of swings.
Why are they positioned that way?
Yeah. So instead of like, well, everybody says the shift is bad, so I don't like the shift. Maybe show them why they're using the shift.
Or why the shift doesn't work. Right? Why, if it's against this particular player,
if you don't like it, that's fine. But if it doesn't work, show why.
Yeah.
Right? Give them more information. That's the thing about football. It's information overload. Right? Baseball, it's like, well, there's a third baseman out in shallow right field. I don't like that. Well, tell them why. Tell them why he's there. Maybe they won't like it, but they'll understand.
And of all the sports that has tons of information to help you provide more insight.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't baseball the number one sport for that in terms of having tons and tons of raw data?
Just go to Baseball Reference. You'll get lost in the numbers.
Right. But I think you're really spot on this, Buckeye Boy, that there's just not this. There's not anybody that just makes me, they're just really passionate about being there. I mean, whether you like, in Mark Johnson referenced Bill Walton, whether you like Walton's style or not, Walton loves college basketball.
You can't argue
Dickie
that
V
he
loves college basketball. Right. Even Jay Billis, who's more low key, still loves college basketball. Mm-hmm. You never get a sense that they dislike the game, don't like parts of the game, don't like the way where the game's going, whatever. that they love the sport. They embrace it, and they're passionate about it. And like you said, I get it because the sports are different. Mm-hmm. There's more moments to maybe get more excited. But
I'm, as much as I love my now Guardians, sometimes they're a struggle to watch on TV because Rick Manning just doesn't seem to have an appreciation for the current game. There's things that he taught. It's always about, you know, either when he played or how the game has changed or, you know, I really not a fan of the shift. But, well, that's too bad. The shift is happening. You know, Tito Francona's not listening to you. And on the flip side of things, a guy that I get the feeling that he just loves being at the yard and loves watching baseball is Ryan Spielborgs.
Yeah.
That dude loves the game.
Spilly's one of the rare guys that seems like he really enjoys it. I think Houston enjoys it.
Mm-hmm.
I get that feeling.
But he's kind of in that older generation a little bit. But he does a good job of explaining.
But I don't hear. But I don't hear him cracking on.
He doesn't just gripe
on. Well, why do they do this now? This is terrible. Jeff might impart when he played with the Rangers or whatever, and that kind of thing. But that's okay. It's okay to tell a story if it's relevant to what we're what you're looking at the moment.
The thing about Houston is like Rick Manning will be like, I don't like the shift here, and the guy will hit into the shift and get it out, and he doesn't come back with a mea culpa. Jeff Houston kind of does the other way. If Ryan McMahon's the only guy on the left side of the infield and somebody pokes the ball the other way and it gets through, he's like, that's one of the reasons I don't like the shift.
Yeah.
He has proof. Instead of just not liking it, he ties it into what's actually happening.
And that's fine, and that's good.
But you don't have that enough on the national level because you don't get random people in Milwaukee tuning into a Diamondbacks game. You get random people in Green Bay watching the Cardinals. Because the game is different and it's consumed differently, but baseball needs help to get the random fan, to get the casual fan, and that includes more. They still are so insular, and it's not good for the growth.
And the regionalism has not helped. You know, where Manfred's like, well, you know, we're a regional sport now. That's not helped.
No,
you've just decided to totally give up the high ground to everybody else. Mm-hmm. NFL, college football. Well, we're just regional.
Yeah.
How does that grow your sport?
There are people that are like, I wonder what this Mac Jones character is all about. I hear a lot about him nationally, and so I'm going to maybe put my eyeballs on this Patriots game if I run across it. Major League Baseball doesn't do it. Oh, I hear Mike Trout's pretty good. You going to go out of your way to what? No.
You know, and for a moment, we're talking about the CBA and the lockout, but, we're kind of kicking around a lot of Major League Baseball's problems. Is it the season just is too long? Maybe we just have to acknowledge a 162.
I think it is now,
The 162 is just too long for most people.
I think it's
tough for people to stay dialed in, day out. There was a time when the NFL pretty much had its time.
Mm-hmm.
It was usually July with training camp starting. And then preseason football, and it was pretty much. And then when Super Bowl is over in early January, they were done. Back in the '80s, the draft wasn't a big deal back then. Well, late '70s into the early '80s, that finally, of course, 1983 was the year where I think it kind of turned with that huge draft class with Elway and Kelly and Marino and those guys. But everybody had kind of their slot, right? There was no bleed over. And you referenced having a different thing every month in the NFL, even when they're not playing games. Major League Baseball kind of had its spot, and that's gone now. A lot of crossover with the start of the NBA season, NHL season, college football. College football's popularity continues to climb, even though they're doing stuff that, with the coaching situation that, I don't know what kind of negative impact that might have down the road, but... Right now, college football, we referenced the Ohio State-Michigan numbers being better than numbers for the World Series. That maybe the season just is too long, and people just can't stay dialed in. I think that's part of the problem as well.
So, just to kind of give you an idea about, you talked about baseball's window. All NFL teams report to training camp. For 2021, they reported July 27th. So let's just say July 27th for 22. Let's just keep it a nice, easy number. The latest possible date for an NBA Finals game is June 19th. That's little over 5 weeks that baseball gets all to itself. And for the most part, they don't do anything in the first half of the season to make you want to go search out baseball for those 5 weeks. Baseball's all about, people will watch in October. Yeah, because it's the playoffs. But there's no real reason to tune, other than just being a baseball nerd, reason to tune into a Wednesday afternoon getaway game, 4th of July. Or, 1st of July.
One of the smartest things they've done is have everybody play on opening day. That's been one of the better things that they've done.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Hey, we are starting the season. All 30 teams are in action today for you to watch. We've got baseball all day long today.
And the last day of the regular season, where they do essentially the same thing.
Right.
What I would do, and the Guardians do it, the White Sox do it, and occasionally you have like the Astros or the Royals. They move up their first pitch to 6:10 Eastern time instead of 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
So your 5 o'clock East Coast games are time, which then is 8 o'clock our time West Coast games. If you move them up an hour, you got people on the East Coast that can watch all of the teams. There's some good baseball played in California and, in Oakland and Seattle and Los Angeles and San Diego that a lot of people nationally miss.
Because
the game started at 11 almost.
And who, no matter how diehard you are, you've got to go to work the next day.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to stay up and watch Shohei Ohtani as much as I'd love to watch him if I live in New York and I got to go to work the next day. I'd love to watch that guy play. I'd love to see him on the bump.
It's hard for us to get past the stretch for a Rockies game because if they play on the West Coast, because they start at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, and we have to get up early to come in here and,
right.
I try to watch you. I think you and I, we try to watch as much as we can, but that's maybe an hour.
Yeah.
And a half.
Regional blackouts also need to go if you're going to try to embrace your cord cutters.
Stupid. Stupid idea.
There are so many things that need to change coming out of this CBA that they're not even going to try.
That will not even happen.
They're not going to try to fix the game and grow the game because they're too worried about getting theirs and not worried about the next guy down the line.
But someday there won't be getting my share there. Those shares are going to be smaller and smaller and smaller.
Someday the Major League Baseball's on lockout is not even going to make the ticker.
Could very well be the way they keep approaching this. All right, let's quickly wrap it up with.
We're taking out the trash. It's garbage time on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
Oh, I love trash.
A lot of debate about what's going to happen with Al Michaels. And a story today on Larry Brown Sports is that there's a chance that Al Michaels might be going back to Monday Night Football. That's entirely possible. That he could end up leaving NBC and Sunday Night Football and end up going back to where it started, in terms of a football career with Monday Night Football.
Yeah. Did you see there was a little bit of a scrap between NC State, Nebraska, and the ACC Big Ten Challenge? Did you see that?
I did not.
So you probably missed Nebraska's Trey McGowan's rolling up to the scuffle on a Neely Wheelie.
Oh, no. Stay out, dude. Stay
he wanted
out.
Him some.
No, you don't, sir. No, you don't want you some.
It's so funny. He's on the thing, just paddling away.
I'm coming to get you. Oh, that's our show for today. I'll be back to you tomorrow. Cake will be in tomorrow as well. So make sure you join us tomorrow. 7 to 10, the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Don't forget, Thursday Night Football tonight. Dallas squares off against New Orleans. It starts at 6 tonight on the Team. For the Buckeye Boy, I'm Jim. Have a great day.